Good morning, everyone. Here we are, the sixth Sunday where we haven't been in the church building, been worshiping at home. What's really important is that we are still worshiping our God. And so, welcome this morning to the second part of the message that we opened last week, entitled Death by Murmuring. We'll finish that two-part message today. So I encourage you to grab your Bibles and follow along. We're going to have a lot of scripture reading today because I'm just going to let scripture confirm scripture. So I just welcome you to bow your heads and pray with me now. Father, we just thank you so much for your word, for your goodness, for revelation that comes through your word by the power of your Spirit. And we pray that you would bring that revelation to us today, that you would convict us and cause us to turn fully to you and surrender all to you, Lord. Father, we pray for your healing for those who are sick, and we pray for a covering over those who are part of our church, Lord God, that you would keep us healthy and that we would walk in divine health, Lord God, that coronavirus would be of no ill effect to us in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, as we finish this word you've put on my heart about murmuring today, we just pray, Lord, that you will put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words you've ordained for me to speak this morning, not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so we're talking about death by murmuring. And just to give a little bit of review for those who maybe didn't see the message last week, murmuring, the real reason you lost favor with God, favor with men, favor with your children, and favor with your boss. We have a tendency to complain about everything. We complain about our spouse, our children, our job, our co-workers, the weather, our city, our state, our nation, our food, our lack of money, our poor health, our neighbors, our church, the pastor, other parishioners. The list could go on and on endlessly. I've entitled this message, Death by Murmuring, because murmuring brings death in many ways that we don't even stop to think about. And the first major point we looked at was we reviewed verse 20 of Romans 9, which talks about complaining about how God made us, and who are we to talk back to God to tell him he made a mistake in the way he made us. Then we moved on to complaining about our circumstances. We looked at the fact that we complain about a lack of food. We complain about the fact that we are overworked and being treated unfairly in some way. Thirdly, we looked at complaining about God and his anointed. First of all, complaining that there is no profit in serving God, which we know there is. And then we went on to looking at Korah's rebellion and complaints against Moses and Aaron. And we read that scripture in Jude, verses 5 through 11. I think I'll read that with you again, because then we are going to move on to Numbers 16, verses 1 through 35, because that lays out the account of Korah's rebellion. So we'll reread Jude 1, verses 5 through 11, beginning now. Though you already know this, I want to remind you that the Lord delivered his people out of Egypt, but later destroyed those who did not believe, and the angels who did not keep their positions of authority, but abandoned their own home. These he has kept in darkness, bound with everlasting chains, for judgment on the great day. In a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. In the very same way, these dreamers pollute their own bodies, reject authority, and slander celestial beings. But even the archangel, when he was disputing with the devil about the body of Moses, did not dare to bring slanderous accusation against him, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." Yet these men speak abusively against whatever they do not understand, and what things they do understand by instinct, like unreasoning animals, these are the very things that destroy them. Woe to them! They have taken the way of Cain, they have rushed for profit into Balaam's error, they have been destroyed in Korah's rebellion. And so we see there, and that's where we stopped, was talking about that scripture last week. But now I want to back up and look at the account of Korah's rebellion as it is recorded in Numbers chapter 16, verses 1 through 35. And it says this: Korah, son of Izhar, the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and certain Reubenites, Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab, and On, son of Peleth, became insolent and rose up against Moses. With them were 250 Israelite men, well-known community leaders who had been appointed members of the council. They came as a group to oppose Moses and Aaron and said to them, "You have gone too far. The whole community is holy, every one of them, and the Lord is with them. Why then do you set yourselves above the Lord's assembly?" When Moses heard this, he fell face down. Then he said to Korah and all his followers, "In the morning the Lord will show who belongs to him and who is holy, and he will have that person come near him. The man he chooses, he will cause to come near him. You, Korah, and all your followers are to do this. Take censers, and tomorrow put fire and incense in them before the Lord. The man the Lord chooses will be the one who is holy. You Levites have gone too far." Moses also said to Korah, "Now listen, you Levites. Isn't it enough for you that God of Israel has separated you from the rest of the Israelites' community and brought you near himself to do the work of the Lord's tabernacle and to stand before the community and minister to them? He has brought you and all your fellow Levites near himself, but now you are trying to get the priesthood too. It is against the Lord that you and all of your followers have band together. Who is Aaron that you should grumble against him?" Then Moses summoned Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab. But they said, "We will not come. Isn't it enough that you have brought us up out of a land flowing with milk and honey to kill us in the desert? And now you also want to lord it over us? Moreover, you haven't brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey, or given us an inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will you gouge out the eyes of these men? No, we will not come. I have not taken so much as a donkey from them, nor have I wronged any of them." Moses said to Korah, "You and all your followers are to appear before the Lord tomorrow, you and they and Aaron. Each man is to take his censer and put incense in it, 250 censers in all, and present it before the Lord. You and Aaron are to present your censers also." So each man took his censer, put fire and incense in it, and gathered all his followers in opposition to them at the entrance to the tent of meeting. The glory of the Lord appeared to the entire assembly. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Separate yourselves from this assembly so I can put an end to them at once." But Moses and Aaron fell face down and cried out, "O God, God of the spirits of all mankind, will you be angry with the entire assembly when only one man sins?" Then the Lord said to Moses, "Say to the assembly, 'Move away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram.'" Moses got up and went to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. He warned the assembly, "Move back from the tents of these wicked men. Do not touch anything belonging to them, or you will be swept away because of all their sins." So they moved away from the tents of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Dathan and Abiram had come out and were standing with their wives, children, and little ones at the entrances to their tents. Then Moses said, "This is how you will know the Lord God has sent me to do all these things, and that it was not my idea. If these men die a natural death and experience only what is usual that happens to men, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord brings about something totally new, and the earth opens its mouth and swallows them with everything that belongs to them, and they go down alive into the grave, then you will know that these men have treated the Lord with contempt." As soon as he had finished saying all this, the ground under them split apart, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed them, and their households and all Korah's men and all their possessions. They went down alive into the grave with everything they owned. The earth closed over them, and they perished and were gone from the community. At their cries, all the Israelites around them fled, shouting, "The earth is going to swallow us too!" And fire came out from the Lord and consumed the 250 men who were offering the incense. So we see in this account, guys, that complaining against God and the anointing of God is not going to end well. God will not tolerate insolence. He will not tolerate people forever rising up against him and rising up against his anointed. Let's review. First of all, remember that when you rise up against leaders God has established, whether it be pastors or any leader in any capacity, when you rise up against them, especially godly ones, if we profess that God is in control of all things, then how can we rise up against those people? Because down deep we know that God has established them and has put them in that position. So when we rise up against them, we rise up against God. And we see the account of this. Moses and Aaron were appointed by God to lead the Israelite people. But the Israelite people said, "Oh, well, who do you think you are?" You heard it when I read it, or you were following along, or you know the story. Who are you? How many times does that happen today? Well, I'm a pastor. Let me tell you something. I hear it a lot. When I have tried to bring correction to people, not to condemn them, but to raise people up eventually after they've been corrected, I've had many people just say, "You don't have any control over me," and they just leave and go to a different church. And I guess that's okay. I can't control that. So I have to accept what happens. But it still happens today. That is my point. And it is a very bad thing and brings death. You see the account of this. The earth literally opened up. This isn't some fable. This isn't some story that was made up. This is not fiction. This is a historical account of what happened to a group of people that rose up and complained against the anointed of God. Now let's look at another passage. Cain complaining against God. In Genesis 4, verses 1 through 16, is the account of Cain complaining against God. Here we go. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits from the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And when they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said to him, "Not so. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance seven times over." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. So Cain sees Abel get the favor of God because Abel brought the absolute best as an offering to God. Cain did not bring what was best. He just brought something. And so God looked on in favor on Abel's offering, but did not look with favor on Cain's offering. So then Cain becomes jealous of his brother. I'm sure he was grumbling and murmuring under his breath. This is the point. Isn't that what we do when we get offended? At least we murmur and grumble to ourselves, and many times we add to that grumbling to other people. That's the way we are as people. God's not having any of it. After this all happens, after his brother contrives a plan, Cain invites Abel to go out into the field with him. He gets him off by himself, and he beats his brother to death, and his blood spills into the ground. And God, isn't it interesting? God said his blood cries out from the earth. I wonder how loud the cry is from 60 million babies that have been murdered in this country. So complaining, murmuring, the attitude and the strongholds that come into our lives as a result of all of that leads to death. It leads to death. Now I want to move on to talking about complaining about each other. I want to look at James 5, verses 8 through 9. James 5, verses 8 through 9. Says, "You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door." All right, so this passage really speaks to me, especially since we're in the middle of all this with the coronavirus, and we're not able to go to the places we want to go. The parks are locked down, and we can't go to church and fellowship together. I echo these words to all of you. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. I am sensing in this whole process of everything, through the Spirit of God, and also in paying attention to what is being said at this time in the media, but also what is not being said in the media. I see a lot about standing together, but I see very little, if anything, about crying out to God. And so we are still in a situation where people have not figured out that we need to get back to God. That we quite possibly are, I believe we are, under judgment of God. He's calling his people to repentance. I stand here, I call people to repentance because God has made me an oracle. I'm a pastor. He has given me a platform. And so I'm preaching what I believe in my heart, that God is calling us to repentance. And one of those things is to repent of complaining. The habitual complaining. When we are tempted to complain, worship Him instead. Worship God, because ultimately when we complain about anything, we're complaining about God, because He is the giver of all things. He is the creator of all things. So be patient through this process. Stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. I think the Lord's return is really, really getting close, guys. There's all kinds of things that are lining up, and this message is not necessarily about prophecy. It's about the sin of complaining and that fact that it leads to death. But guys, I just need to take a moment and say, pay attention and filter what you're seeing in the media, what is happening in our world, through the Word of God, through prophecy. And you will see it. You will see what I am seeing if you will do that. I urge you to do that, because, listen, there is a lot going on that was prophesied behind the scenes. And you're not seeing it when you watch the local news. You're not seeing what I'm talking about. So you need to be selective in what you tune into. Verse 9. Don't grumble against each other. Don't grumble against each other. People are grumbling because this person don't want to wear a mask and this one wants to wear a mask. People are firing dirty looks at people in stores because they're wearing a mask and someone else isn't. And somebody's following the arrows in the store and somebody isn't. And they're not doing it right and getting dirty looks and murmuring. Guys, we've got to stop this. The judge is standing at the door. We see it in the Word of God. So we have to stop complaining about each other. Guess what? We're human and we disappoint each other. It's the way it is, so we might as well just deal with it and move on. I want to look at some more scripture that deals with the consequences for murmuring. Guys, this is no joke. This is serious. God's judgment comes on people for murmuring. Murmuring costs us access to our promised land. I'm going to repeat that. I want you to understand this. Murmuring will cost us access to our promised land. Okay? For that passage, I want to read with you Numbers 14, verses 26 through 38 as our example. It says, "The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'How long will this wicked community grumble against me? I have heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. So tell them, as surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things I heard you say. In this desert your bodies will fall. Every one of you, 20 years old or more, who was counted in the census and who was grumbled against me. Not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home. Except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. As for your children that you said would be taken as plunder, I will bring them in to enjoy the land you have rejected. But you, your bodies will fall in the desert. Your children will be shepherds here for 40 years, suffering for your unfaithfulness until the last of your bodies lies in the desert. For 40 years, 1 year for each of the 40 days you explored the land, you will suffer for your sins and know what it is like to have me against you. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will surely do these things to this whole wicked community which has banded together against me. They will meet their end in this desert. They will die.' So the men Moses had sent to explore the land who returned and made the whole community grumble against him by spreading a bad report about it. These men responsible for spreading the bad report about the land were struck down and died of a plague before the Lord. Of the men who went to explore the land, only Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, survived. Okay, so what do we got going on here? We know that the Israelites ended up wandering in the desert for 40 years. And what this is explaining to us is this. The reason they ended up wandering in the desert for 40 years is because they would not enter the promised land and possess it like God had ordained they should do. Instead, the spies that were sent in ahead of them, only two came back with a good report. The rest of them came back with a bad report, said they're giants in the land and they make us look like grasshoppers in their sight. And they came with a bad report, which was the opposite of what God had said. God had said, go in and possess the promised land. I have given it to you. But they didn't trust him. They complained against him. They complained that the men were too big in that land. They complained about this. They complained about that. And they came back with a lousy report, except two men, Joshua and Caleb. They said, let's do it. Let's go take it, for we can do it because God is with us. But the people didn't listen to godly counsel. They went their own way. They didn't go in. And so, the consequence of that, that generation never entered the promised land. You understand, biblically, a generation is 40 years. That's why they spent 40 years wandering in the desert. Because a generation biblically is about 40 years. And so that generation all died like God said, in the desert, wandering in the desert, and it was the next generation that went in to possess the promised land. It was judgment for complaining that cost them their promised land. So I ask you, does murmuring cost us access to our promised land? Yes. Yes, it does. Without a doubt, it costs us more than we can even understand. Murmuring also causes death, and we saw that in the long account we read in the 16th chapter of Numbers a few moments ago. But also, we see it in Numbers 17, verses 1 through 11, which I'm going to read with you. Numbers 17, verses 1 through 11. The Lord said to Moses, speak to the Israelites and get 12 staffs from them, one from the leader of each of their ancestral tribes. Write the name of each man on his staff. On the staff of Levi, write Aaron's name, for there must be one staff for the head of each ancestral tribe. Place them in the tent of meeting in front of the testimony where I meet with you. The staff belonging to the man I choose will sprout, and I will rid myself of this constant grumbling against you by the Israelites. So Moses spoke to the tribes, and Aaron's staff was among them. Moses placed the staffs before the Lord in the tent of the meeting of the testimony. The next day Moses entered the tent of the testimony and saw that Aaron's staff, which represented the house of Levi, had not only sprouted, but had budded, blossomed, and produced almonds. Then Moses brought out all the staffs from the Lord's presence to all the Israelites. They looked at them, and each man took his own staff. And the Lord said to Moses, put back Aaron's staff in front of the testimony, to be kept as a sign to the rebellious. This will put an end to their grumbling against me, so that they will not die. Moses did just as the Lord commanded him. God hates grumbling, because ultimately, whatever grumbling we're doing is against him, because he's in control of all things. He established Aaron through this budding, because he was the man that belonged to the staff and it sprouted. He put Aaron's staff back in front of the testimony to be kept as a sign to the rebellious. We saw in verse 16, see, this is the continuation of what we read in verse 16. The earth had just opened up and swallowed all of these people. Dathan, Abiram, their families, the 250 men that got on board and went and challenged Moses and Aaron. They were all killed. They were all killed. And we think today that we're all that, and somehow God is different today than he was then. Well, I'm here to tell you, the Word of God says, actually God says about himself, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is the same God, and there is going to be a day of reckoning. We have entered into a time where God is calling his people to repentance because Christ's return is very near. I don't know the day or hour, and if I tried to tell you I did, I'd be a heretic. But I sense it getting close. Jesus said, you will know by the season. Listen, I'm looking at the season, guys, and I'm telling you, Christ's return is getting close. Very possible it could happen in my lifetime. I'm almost 63 years old. Not saying it's going to, but I also am saying it's very possible. Things are lining up at a very rapid rate. The last thing we want to be doing as believers, guys, is complaining about everything. Instead, fall down on your face before God. Repent of your sins. Name them and repent of your sins. Invite Jesus Christ to wash away those sins as you confess them. Repent of the sins of this nation. There are many. There are many that are abominations. I mentioned earlier over 60 million babies being killed since Roe v. Wade. That blood is crying out before God. The addictions, drug addiction, alcohol addiction, sex addiction, rewriting what marriage is and saying God doesn't know what he's talking about when he's the one that invented marriage, won't end well. We need to repent on behalf of our nation for rewriting what marriage is. God said it's one man, one woman for a lifetime. One man, one woman for a lifetime. Let me say that a third time because people aren't understanding it. One man, one woman for a lifetime. That's what God said marriage is. Man has said it's quite something else. And man is wrong, and there's going to be consequences. Not only for that, fornication, adultery, all sexual sin, but including homosexuality. It is not natural. It is not normal. And I don't care how long people try to make it normal. It is not normal activity, and it opposes God. And because of that and many other sins, there is judgment on this land. I believe we are going to struggle from this point on until the people in this land repent, like it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14. So guys, let's stop complaining. In conclusion, here's our last scripture for this message. Philippians 2, verses 14 through 16. Again, Philippians 2, verses 14 through 16 says this. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. Let me echo this. Guys, let's do everything without complaining and arguing. This is speaking to believers. This is speaking to the church in Philippi. This letter was written to the church in Philippi. So you need to understand, this is written to believers. Do everything without complaining or arguing. Why? He explains why. So that you may become blameless and pure. When we live in a life where we are constantly complaining, what we see here made abundantly clear is we are not blameless and pure by any means. If we have cleaned up everything else in our life, if there is no other sin in our life, but we are still complaining and arguing, we are still not blameless and pure. Goes on to say, children of God, without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation. Boy, are we living that. Are we living in a crooked and depraved generation? Yes, I just took a few moments to bring that to the light again. We are. You and I are living in a crooked and depraved generation. So we need to be careful. We need to put a watch on our mouths that what we speak out of our mouths is edifying. That we speak things out of our mouths that are truth and that are not weaved with complaining and arguing. Goes on to say, in which you shine like stars in the universe. Guys, we as believers are the restrainers. It's why we are hated in the last days as the restrainers, restraining evil. Even though it's so evil, you can't imagine how bad it would be if God took all of us out like it's going to happen when the rapture takes place. You want to talk about hell on earth? Once the restrainer is moved, once the church, the bride of Christ, is taken out, there is no more restrainer. And I'm telling you, the people that are on this earth then, it is going to be ugly. It'll be something to complain about. But it will be what man has done to themselves. So, let's shine like stars in the universe, guys. Let's speak the truth in love. Let's call sin, sin. Let's work hard with God, with His leading, to rid our lives of sin that holds us back. Of the grumbling and complaining and the murmuring that would keep us from our promised land. Let's shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. Guys, if you have an understanding of God's word and you're a born-again believer, hold out the word of life to anyone who will listen. As this thing progresses and things get harder and harder in this nation and in the world, people are going to be more open. They're going to be looking for answers. Not everybody. Because there are some people that are so evil and their hearts are so hard, they're just going to be that way. But there are going to be people that are not hardened to that point, that are going to be looking for answers. And my friends, as the light of the world, because of Christ living in us, we can be that light, but people will not listen to us if we are always complaining. We need to hold out the plan of salvation to people. Call sin what it is. Tell the truth lovingly. We are not to hate anyone. We are to love all people, which means we love them enough to tell the truth. I stand here today, as I do every time I get in the pulpit, and I'm telling the truth the best way I know how, from the Word of God, which is absolute truth, preaching unapologetically of what God has put in His Word. I have no apology for preaching what I have preached today or any time, because it's God's Word, and I'm not going to soften the blow of it. All right, so this concludes our message entitled Death by Murmuring. And I trust now it's all very clear to you. I encourage you to ponder this message, to make adjustments in our lives together. Oh, I'm looking forward to when we can come together and worship together again. This is getting long, and it's, guys, I'm just going to level with you. I think this is going to go through May as well. And this is already our sixth week, and there are some 5 Sundays in May. So if it indeed does, if I'm right, and it does go through the end of May, then we would have 5 more weekends of having worship like this in our homes, which it's better than no worship at all. But I miss you all. And I want to be able to get together one day again and gather together and not hear or be doing any murmuring or complaining, but worshiping God in spirit and truth as we should be. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you so much for this word that you put on my heart, for this word that is your word. We were reading your scripture, Lord, and we thank you for the example. Lord, we ask your forgiveness for the attitudes in our hearts that cause us to murmur and complain. We repent of that, Lord, and we pray that we just welcome you to come in like a flood and help us by the power of your Spirit to overcome this tendency to complain and make us true worshipers of the Most High God. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. We love you.